This is the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. In the headlines, a $25 million road rehabilitation project for six major roads to begin in August. Individuals being COVID tested urged to say upfront if home conditions are suitable for self-quarantining. And some teachers opposed to taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Good morning. With the details, I'm Wendy Burke. Government is set to begin a $25 million road rehabilitation project by August this year. Minister of Transport, Works and Water Resources, Ian Gooding-Edgell, made the announcement during a virtual public Zoom meeting last night. He says the project, being funded by the Inter-American Development Bank, is a continuation of a phased project which started in 2018 and saw the first phase completed in 2019.
The second phase of the project, the Global Roads phase, will see the rehabilitation and improvement to the infrastructure of six roads throughout the island. To facilitate this work, the Ministry of Transport, Works and Water Resources adhered to the Inter-American Development Bank's approved tender in order to secure the services of a consultant firm to provide engineering design services using social, economic and environmental criteria.
Mr. Gooding-Edgell went on to identify the six roads which will be undergoing rehabilitation.
1. ABC Highway, as the eastbound lanes, Norman Niles Roundabout at Haggett Hall to Clyde Walker Roundabout at the Huddersfield Junction. 2. Highway 3, from Huddersfield to Clyde Walker Roundabout, Huddersfield to Lairs Roundabout. 3. Highway 6, Searles Roundabout to Six Roads. 4. Highway 6, from the Henry Ford Roundabout, that's at the junction of the Chickmunk Roundabout, to Searles Roundabout. 5. Long Bay, Bellair Road, that's the Crane to Sam Norris Castle Road that we are familiar with. And 6, the Carmichael Road, the Turnpike to Border Talk. Combination of factors was taken into consideration in determining the selection of these roads, including increasing traffic flows, as well as the fact that some of the roads have reached or are well beyond their design life.
Minister of Transport, Works and Water Resources, Ian Gooding-Edgell. Individuals are being encouraged to state upfront whether or not their home conditions are suitable for self-quarantining when they go for their COVID-19 test. Quarantine Facilities Manager Alvin Hart says it is about taking responsibility for one's health and those around them. He says on testing, people should go home, but they don't, and lots more become infected.
And they go on the block, and some of these areas, these villages and so on, are so densely populated that when you go on a block and you have 12 men on a block, or you go in a shop, or you go and visit your aunt, your mother. I heard cases of persons saying, well, when they finish this test, I'm going to look for my aunt, I'm going to look for my sister, I'm going to look for my mother. You are now exposing all of those persons to COVID-19. And when we look at the data, we are picking up entire families because of this. Everyone needs to take responsibility for their health and others. You get your tests, you go directly home until your results are back.
Mr. Hart added that the idea is to contain and not spread the virus. So if the home situation is too crowded to wait in, the person should let the tester know, because too many family clusters are occurring.
But we at the Ministry of Health are encouraging persons to state to the provider or to the polyclinic, wherever you go, that if your living conditions are not good, especially if you know you are primary contact and you had very close contact to that person who have tested positive, you should let them know that my conditions at home are not conducive for me going back. If I go home, I put my entire family at risk. We want to break this chain. We are seeing too much every day. Every day we are picking up entire families, 5 people, 6 people in a household, 7 people in the district, and we want to break this. But everybody must come on board.
Quarantine Facilities Manager Alvin Hart. President of the Barbados Union of Teachers, Pedro Shepherd, says some teachers have opposed the idea of being vaccinated for COVID-19. Speaking to Starcom Network News, he said the BUC membership is divided on the decision, and it will be an individual decision for teachers to take the vaccine. He also says the union has not received any communication from the relevant ministries about the vaccinating of teachers.
teachers will make their own determinations as to whether they want to have the vaccine or not. Previously, I had commented on the vaccine issue, and I was of the view then that teachers should have been given some priority because we were expected to go back to school and do face-to-face classes. But there are some teachers, like citizens of Barbados, who are apprehensive about the taking of the vaccine. So as an adult, we will all make our decision. But I know that there are some teachers who are willing to take vaccines, while there are others who are not prepared to take the vaccine at this point because of whatever research might have gone into the vaccine and some of the social media postings and so on, with people having adverse reactions and so on. The union has not taken a decision on it, so it will come down to a personal decision.
BUT President Pedro Shepherd. The island recorded 55 new cases of COVID-19 on Tuesday. This was out of 677 tests conducted by the Bestos Santos Public Health Laboratory. 29 people recovered, bringing the number of active cases to 783. There was one death on Tuesday, a 68-year-old woman who passed away at the Harrison Point isolation facility, bringing the number of COVID deaths to 32. The 55 new cases comprised 23 men and 32 women. Barbados has recorded 2,907 confirmed cases. To date, the Public Health Laboratory has completed 122,641 tests. There were 2,907 people vaccinated on Tuesday as part of the National Vaccination Program for COVID-19. To date, a total of 22,037 vaccinations have been administered. Some independent senators have voiced their support for the National Payment Systems Bill. The bill was read during yesterday's sixth sitting of the Senate. Government Senator Lisa Cummins, while presenting the bill to the President of the Senate, Reginald Farley, denounced claims made by opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley during this week's sitting of the House of Assembly that the bill was being rushed.
If in 2021, Barbados is now having a discussion that countries like Kenya were having in 2007, over the changes in their financial system and the use of different mechanisms, there can be no rush about that. Instead, and in fact, what we are dealing with is a country that is in many regards playing catch up.
Meantime, independent Senator Lindell Nurse, although in support of the bill, said he hopes the fees associated with the system are regulated and published so users can have adequate prior knowledge.
I know that this provides an opportunity, obviously, for the providers of the payment service to make revenue. But I would hope that in doing all of this, the regulator makes sure that the fees being charged are fair, that they're reasonable. And, you know, from a while now, we have been complaining about the number of fees that are being charged by various financial institutions and so on. So we don't want to see, in other words, as I said earlier, one of the things about this national payment system is that should be cost effective for anyone to use.
Meantime, the Democratic Labour Party has accused the government of being blind to the way Barbadians live and how small businesses operate, since many cannot afford to place money into a bank account. President of the DLP, Verla de Pisa, speaking about government's national payment system bill, says there are currently no incentives to deposit funds and people cannot afford to do so in this current economic climate. She says it is the job of government to ensure that policies cater to all sectors of the population so that no one is left behind.
This present administration seems oblivious to the way Barbadians live and how small businesses operate. The most recent evidence of this is the tone-deaf National Payment System Bill 2021. By requiring a bank account at this time in order to participate, outside of some degree of banking regulation as well, is to once again underscore the fact of two Barbadoses and to perpetuate differences instead of seeking to promote equality as it favors investors over consumers.
DLP President Verla de Pisa recapping the headlines now in the 7:30 edition of The Latest. A $25 million road rehabilitation project for six major roads to begin in August. Individuals being COVID tested urged to say upfront if home conditions are suitable for self-quarantining. And some teachers opposed to taking the COVID-19 vaccine. That's been The Latest here from Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group of Companies. I'm Wendy Burke. Do have a good morning.
And you can listen to the latest news or catch up on news stories at starcomnetwork.net. You may also WhatsApp AdMe to 256-6397 to receive breaking news.